the most important thing is talk to the EPA. Tell them what you really think. That's so important.
All right. Well, with that, I think we're just about out of time. You can go to kboo.fm/waterworld, and I'm going to have all the relevant links up there if you want to do some research. And if you just want to remember one site, then you could just go to www.kboo.fm if you didn't get the others. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Laura. Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kristen. It's been our delight.
The water. PCBs pollute the water. Don't wade in the river. Don't wade in the river, children. Don't wade in the river. Industries polluted our river. We kill her in the river. Toxic sediment, we know it. Phthalates in the river. Superfund toxics in the river. Clean up our water. Clean up our water, you polluters. Clean up our water. You know right to ruin our water. Our beautiful Willamette River. Our
here, to the right-hand speaker.
Is happening August 13th at Cider Riot, 807 Northeast Coot Street, starting at noon. Find treasures amongst the stacks of donated items while raising money for KBOO, your very own community radio station.
Friction between the stylus and the record produces a force which makes the arm try to swing towards the record center.
Again, that's KBOO's Book and Record Sale, Saturday, August 13th from noon to 7 p.m. at Cider Riot, 807 Northeast Coot Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
I'm now standing in the center, and my voice should be located precisely midway between the speakers.
This is KBOO Portland. The time is 10 a.m. And today we hear... a rebroadcast of Thursday evening's Flashpoints from our Siblings in Struggle in the San Francisco Bay Area out of KPFA in Berkeley. And we thank them for sharing their content with us here in the Pacific Northwest. Here we go.
Today on Flashpoints, we are delighted to feature extended excerpts from Michael Moore's latest documentary film, Where to Invade Next. It's a good one. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein. This is your daily investigative news magazine. They called it provocative, hilariously funny. Moore's latest film is his most bold and most sophisticated. Instead of pointing out our flaws, he imagines our possibilities. And instead of wallowing in fear and panic, he offers practical ideas for productive change. Listen to this.
On January 2nd, I was quietly summoned to the Pentagon to meet with the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Each branch was represented. The Army, the Air Force, the Navy, and the Marines. Michael, they said to me, we don't know what the f- we're doing.
Dressed up to win, we're dressed up to win.
They hadn't won a war outright since the big one, WW2.
We are jumping in it and we won't stop waiting.
They went over each of the wars that they had lost. One after the other. They regretted having wasted trillions of dollars and helping to create new groups like ISIS. They admitted that what they got from these wars was just more war. They couldn't even get us the oil they promised us from Iraq. They felt embarrassed, humiliated. Their hands were all placed in a no-fly zone. They asked me for my advice. I thought for a moment and then said the following. You must stand down. I told them that our troops needed a much-deserved break.
Finally a break. Finally some downtime.
For the foreseeable future, there are to be no invasions, no sending in military advisors, no more using drones as wedding crashers. Instead of sending in the Marines, my suggestion, send in me. I will invade countries populated by Caucasians with names I can mostly pronounce. Take the things we need from them and bring it all back home to the United States of America. For we have problems no army could solve.
I believe our government has a responsibility to go to the aid of its citizens.
The life of a Vietnam vet comes to a tragic end.
The man was found frozen to death in his own home.
After Consumers Energy turned his natural gas off.
I've made it clear that we will hunt down terrorists who threaten our country wherever they are. You will find no safe haven.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we.
This country will hunt down terrorists and bring them to justice.
On your face!
Next stop, Germany. With no student loans to pay off, imagine then going into the real world and getting a job where you only work 36 hours a week, but got paid for 40. A place where you can still find a thriving middle class, even amongst people who make pencils.
We are producing pencils.
Pencils.
It's still a good business, so we started in 70.
Still, even
yes.
With computers and everything?
They are still buying pencils, and by the way, last year was the best year in producing pencils in Germany ever.
Where are the pencil factories?
The pencil factories, this is here, around.
Right behind us?
Yeah, these factories.
And no. These aren't factories. They have windows.
What do you mean, windows?
Factories don't have windows.
No, of course we have windows. They must have good light.
What do they need sunlight for? They're just making pencils.
Yeah, but good pencils, and also to feel well, not to get sick. Because if you have workers who are ill, then you have problems. We don't want that.
In Germany, work is work. And when work is over, work is done. In fact, they're so concerned that the workplace has created so much stress that under the German universal healthcare system, any stressed out German can get their doctor to write a prescription for a free 3-week stay at a spa.
So schöne Blüten. Oh, danke.
You don't have to cook, you don't have to wash.
I need time for me, I need more time for my children.
We have a massage, gymnastics, and we go to the pool and we eat healthy. It's very yummy.
I don't understand why the government does this.
Because it's cheaper. In the long run, it's cheaper.
Definitely, to prevent worse sickness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it makes sense to pay before.
One of the reasons that German workers have all this free time and other benefits is because they have power. Real power.
It's a law that companies have to have a supervisory board, which consists 50% representatives from the workers' side.
That's right. Not a token worker on the board. Half of these boards are workers. And one of the good things about having workers with power on the board is that when the company breaks the law...
End of the road. Volkswagen, the world's largest automaker, was busted for cheating its way around the law.
The workers make sure the company is prosecuted. That's why companies listen to the workers.
We ask our employees, what can we do better?
Why? You're in charge, you're management. Just tell them what to do.
They observe what we are doing and they make proposals, what we can do better.
Do you ever adopt any of the workers' proposals?
Yes, of course. We do it regularly, of course.
Why, just to keep them happy or?
No, they have good ideas and they are...
Well, they have good ideas.
They have good ideas. They know...
You don't really mean that.
Yeah, of course. It's true.
You're just
it's
saying
true.
That because the camera's on.
No. They are so important and so intelligent. Believe me, it's the key to success.
We know that the more you give people a say, the more they help the company to win.
The latest area that German workers have advocated for is how they're to be treated during their free time when they're not at work. It is against the law in Germany to contact an employee while he or she is on vacation. And now many companies in Germany have adopted the rule that the company cannot send an email to employees after work. At Mercedes, the company's computers will block any boss who tries to bother an employee at home.
Employees have the right not to answer emails, and bosses are not supposed to intervene on the weekends or in the vacation or after normal working hours a day into the private spheres of employees.
No, the Germans don't want to interfere with your private sphere. But things weren't always like this in Germany. Here in Nuremberg, they didn't just make pencils. They made documentaries. Finland is ranked at or near the top of having the best educated students in the world, which left everyone wondering, really? Finland? These are the people who gave us the air guitar championship.
Hello?
And the sports of cell phone throwing and wife carrying. These are the geniuses that cracked the code to good education. I mean, how is it that the kids in Finland are ahead of the rest of the world? So here's what happened. Back in the day, Finland's schools sucked on the level that ours suck on. When they tested the world's kids, both Finland and us were usually about the same, you know, somewhere down the list of nations. But Finland didn't like that. So they tried some new ideas, and in no time, Finland shot to the top of the world. Their students were number one. How did they do that? That was the one question I wanted an answer to, and I went straight to see the enemy's Minister of Education. Before I could say anything, she blurted out their top secret.
They do not have homework.
Wait, so you reduce the homework you give
them
at school?
Yes. They should have more time to be kids, to be youngsters, to enjoy the life.
How many hours of homework did you get last night?
About 10 minutes or something.
10 minutes of homework?
Yeah. Maybe 15 minutes or 20 minutes.
20 minutes, but not so much. Yeah.
Well, if I would have done the homework, I think it would be like 10 minutes tops.
Usually I don't really do homework that much.
The whole term homework is kind of obsolete, I think. In that way...
Your homework is obsolete.
Yeah. In that way that these kids, they have a lot other things to do after school.
Like what?
Like being together, like being with the family, like doing sports, like playing music, like reading.
So they have no homework. What if all they want to do is climb a tree?
They could climb a tree, yeah. They can climb a tree, then they learn how to climb a tree. But they'll end up, while climbing the tree, probably finding out about different insects, and they can come to school next day telling me about what they found.
Compared to the older kids, how many hours a day do the younger ones go to school?
Mondays, 3 hours. Tuesdays, 4 hours. It varies. It's 20 hours a week.
So they're, oh, man. Now, does this 3 or 4 hours at school include the lunch hour?
Yes.
How are they learning anything? How are you getting anything done?
Your brain has to relax every now and then. If you just constantly work, 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 then you stop learning. And there's no use of doing that for a longer period of time.
Finland students have the shortest school days and the shortest school years in the entire Western world. They do better by going to school less.
Yay! How many languages do you speak?
English, yeah. Swedish, Spanish.
Finnish and Swedish. Finnish, English and German.
French, German.
Finnish and English.
English, Swedish and French and Spanish.
So you were an exchange student in the U.S.?
Yeah.
When you got back here in school, what did you notice that you felt relieved about?
No more multiple choice exams.
No multiple choice exams here?
Or very few of them, if any.
Really?
All of my exams in the U.S.
How do you answer the question right if it isn't listed as one of the four choices?
You write your answer.
You have to know it, actually.
Yeah.
You actually have to know it.
Yeah.
If there was one thing I heard over and over again from the Finns, it was that America should stop teaching to a standardized test.
How do you know which schools are the best? And, you know, people need a list.
The neighborhood school is the best school. It is not different than